Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
He's got that on tape.
Good.
Now.
Put it in the weird bit where it looks like, oh, they're having fun. They like each other. We don't like each other, actually.
Jim and I like music. Each other. Okay. I want to make that absolutely clear.
And put the music in here. Ha, look at them japing. No, they're not.
Yeah. Right. You ready? Don't get nervous because you've got to play my game later. All right, here we go.
Might have been the worst of two games.
We're going to boogie, oogie, oogie, jiggle, wiggle and dance like the roof's on fire, everyone. Welcome to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Betway. Leicester drew in Napoli, but West Ham got a win. It's Friday, 17th of September. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Vidushin Hantharaja.
Messers worldwide here, ladies and gentlemen. Good to have you with us. It's Friday, Jim Campbell. The weekend is that close. How are you going to kick this weekend in the bollocks?
I think I'll leave its balls alone.
All right.
I want it to be on my side. Yeah. So I'm not going to kick it in the nuts.
All right. Different approach from last weekend.
Land the first blow. I always say that about weekends.
Yeah,
get there early.
That's prison-vish.
Let them know you're there. Let the weekend know you're there.
And what about you, funny guy?
I've got a lovely wedding to attend on Saturday. It's the drinking part of the wedding as well.
You know what? I went to a stag do last weekend in Liverpool.
You did, yeah.
I can tell you've still got some of your noises.
I'm telling you, lads, I am still...
I haven't emptied your pockets since then, have you?
I thought you were going to say my bladder. I was like, oh, I think I have. My goodness, you're a disgrace. Where is the wedding, in case anybody wants to go along with you?
Well, what? I'm not doing that. Why would I do that? Is that a thing? By the way, if you're at Lucid on Saturday... Yeah.
It's like one of those MySpace parties from the past where everyone's house used to get trashed.
Yeah, yeah. Invite everyone in your friends list.
Just give us a general... Where's the... Which county?
It's in Middlesex.
Oh, okay. Don't worry, ladies and gentlemen. We'll have a postcode for you by the end of the show.
Do you think it will last?
The wedding?
No.
Or the party?
The couple. Do you think they've got a chance?
I'll say that.
Don't answer that.
Yeah, should I?
Yeah, look, I'm going to have to jump in here.
Because I hesitated there.
Yeah, you did.
Can we, when we edit this, or when someone else edits it?
No, that's going
in.
Can
we just shorten that gap?
That's going right in there, you little naughty. Right, gentlemen, the European football didn't stop on Thursday night.
Sorry, can I just say,
what?
Like two really good friends, yes, they're loving people, they are absolutely going to last.
Yeah?
I can't just leave that in the ether.
Vish, we've moved on. You had your chance, we've moved on. Jim and I think it will last.
Yeah, of course.
If it's any consolation,
give you the opportunity to make that clear.
If it's any consolation,
I'm just going to get my desktop WhatsApp out and message him straight away, telling them to listen to this on Sunday.
Right, Europa League action and Europa Conference League as well. And any other Europa thing happened last night, I believe.
They need to, I mean, you've stumbled on a good point there.
Thank you. They need to
make it clear what we're watching.
Yeah.
I wasn't
really sure. Why call it the Europa Conference League? Just call it the Europa Conference, maybe.
Yeah.
Or even just like the Conference League. Even though that's like the league.
No, you can't do that.
Yeah.
They've got the same anthem as well.
Yeah. It's lazy.
Why don't they just get listeners to make different jingles for each? Each game.
The football ramble way. Leicester drew 2-2 with Napoli. Apparently these two are joint favourites for the trophy, Jim. That's quite something, isn't it?
That is something.
The favourites playing in the opening game of the group. Yeah.
It could be the final. Sometimes it goes that way.
It could do,
Do you think that's because of the Conference League, though? Do you think, like, you know, a team like Spurs, who we might regard as a team who are quite high up on that tier of club, because they're in a completely different competition now, that they might be regarded, that they wouldn't come in. Look, Rennes are a good example of a side who...
You are confusing me.
Yeah.
Yes, maybe. You're probably right. And some of the teams are playing in the Champions League as well, who would probably win the Europa League. So it's like, those the higher teams are another one, the lower teams are another, and those sort of middling European football teams.
Because I thought Man City could have done a good job in League One, but they're not even, not even in it.
But they don't play in France, do they?
No.
So, yes. Right, well, while we're all clear on that... There was some football. It ended 2-2, I think. Shame that there were some ugly scenes in the crowd towards the end. But aside from that, you know, with regards to the football, Leicester, they let their 2-goal lead slip against Napoli, Jim. And Brendan Rodgers said, the crime isn't giving away the 2 goals. The crime is that you don't learn from it.
Is he referring to earlier times they've not learned from it then? Because that seems odd.
I assume he's saying that... If they don't learn from it from now on, maybe.
Yeah, it will not be okay.
Yeah, exactly.
there'll be problems. It was a really good game, actually, wasn't it? Because actually, even at 2-0 up, you felt that Leicester weren't quite safe.
Well, stats-wise, Napoli were a lot more shots, and they should have scored. I mean, Schmeichel made a couple of good saves. They had some chances.
The first goal. My God, Victor Osimhen's goal scoops all over the shop.
Would you say it was deft?
I would say it was deft. Mm. And I feel like any move involving Lorenzo Insigne and Yannick Vestergaard shouldn't end in a goal.
I know what you mean.
Unless he's running through his legs.
Yeah, maybe that's...
Yeah.
Maybe Vestergaard knew that was always an option. Mm. So it, you know, or like put him off a little.
Or like a cartoon mouse like running up his shirt and Vestergaard's like trying to scratch him out, yeah.
Do you know, I know Insigne has been playing, you know, for Napoli for years, and we've seen him play for years, but I think I've only just really started to think that his style is quite similar, or should I say the other way around, because he's a bit older, similar to Jack Grealish.
Yeah, I think so. Just sort of causing untold amounts of damage from that left-hand side.
Yeah, likes a little mazy dribble, cut inside, curl
shoot.
One.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's similarities there. But yeah, it was a shame for us that they couldn't hold on. I mean, a lovely second goal as well, good header. But Harvey Barnes, though, he was a bit of a menace. He scored a goal, of course. And Barnes is he knocking on the door of England, Vish, do you think? I mean, I know England have got a lot in those positions, but he's tenacious.
I don't know if he's knocking on the door for England, but...
So which country then?
Well, if he's got, we can get him from Scotland, couldn't we?
Yeah, but I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know the man's past. But what do you think though, Barnes? He's playing well. He's got a lot. He's full of beans, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah. I suppose, like, seriously, on the England point, I suppose it's hard to tell because England have a lot of players who play his position. But it feels like he's a couple of streets ahead of James Maddison.
You see, why do you have to bring in
But I think it's an important thing, because bear in mind that Maddison was seen midway through last season when he missed out on England squads as the unlucky one.
Yeah.
And it almost coincided with Harvey Barnes' injury, because he didn't play from March onwards, Harvey Barnes.
Yeah.
And he still finished the season with 13 goals in all competitions, which is pretty great.
Yeah,
and it's not like he's not been called up for England before. He's certainly in the thinking of Southgate, isn't it?
So yeah. But a lot of competitions in those places.
Absolutely. I think it's probably the worst position, isn't it, in terms of trying to break into it.
Right back, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, that's up there, isn't it? Yeah,
it's comparable, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's that well stocked.
Yeah.
Mm. So,
yeah. Basically, he needs to reinvent himself as a defensive midfielder.
Essentially. Yeah.
Even though they're not too shabby in that position.
No, exactly, yeah. But the what's he like in goal? I do think.
Sorry, can we take some of these left-sided players and just send them back in time? Because we've got so many now.
Yeah, it's true. Could have had a silver medal.
The thing I do like about Harvey Barnes is he's a little bit different, and it might be because of his style, but he's less flourishy with the ball. And he's, I always, whenever I see him, I always think he's very direct.
Yeah. He is direct. You're absolutely right. And what I like is that he loves a through ball. He likes to latch onto a through ball, which is quite handy, actually. You know how sort of, you know how Richarlison plays for Everton, where he's constantly like running at that back line and stretching the play.
That's a really good comparison.
Raheem Sterling does that a little bit as well.
Like a dog doesn't get bored of playing.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. He's almost, because he's almost a bit like, you know, sort of a winger in that sense of cutting in and wanting that ball between fullback and centre half and sort of stretching them. But yet, he's just sort of a wide forward, I suppose. It's hard to sort of define sometimes these days.
Yeah, because Sterling and a lot of those players actually do the majority of their work with the ball. Mm. Whereas Harvey Barnes, it feels like 50-50, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a very good dribbler, but also, he likes making those runs. Mm. And what a ball from Iheanacho as well.
Oh, yeah.
Like, really kind of, you know, just cementing himself as this this mobile number 10.
Yeah. I mean, what do you think of Leicester's chances in this competition? Because, you know, evidently, you know, quite high because they are among the favourites. Obviously, they'll be disappointed they were pegged back by Napoli, but they're not. Some of those players might not have played that much European football. But I'm intrigued as to how they're going to get on here.
I am intrigued. I think at this point, you've got to look at them and think, despite, you know, a disappointing result last night, it is early days. You've got to think that they will have a good chance of going really deep in it. And because of this, the general kind of momentum around Leicester at all times, at this stage of the season, you feel like they might go on and win it, but as we've seen, they drop off quite badly. So you have to wonder, sort of, if they go deep in this competition, will that affect them in the Premier League? And if they're trying to chase top four again, will it all get a bit much? I think they've added to their squad really well, so I think their squad's a bit deeper than it was this time last season. I think they've got a chance, but I think it could
be
a bit of a hindrance to them.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, but you're also saying the final needs to be played in March.
Yeah, ideally.
Because otherwise they might just sort of drop off by the time May comes along. Well, we shall see. The draw could be costly because, talking about all that extra football, Jim, the format to the competition is slightly different this year. The group winner goes straight through to the last 16. Second place has to play an extra round before that against a team that has finished third in their Champions League group.
And that's number wang.
Yeah. So it's just to confuse matters more in the sort of the European football sort of landscape, if you like. But anyway, we shall have to sort of see how that pans out.
We should
take it on a week by week basis, I think, with these competitions. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. We'll find out. We'll turn up on a Thursday night and be like, right, by the way, we're doing this. Yeah. You're over there. You're over there.
Yeah. What, we're playing Inter? What has happened?
We should say about Victor Osimhen as well. His story is fascinating he failed a trial at Club Brugge and another club in 2018 because he contracted malaria and basically like lost a lot of muscle mass.
Oh, blimey.
And in 2019, obviously built himself back up, got moved to Lille for €40 million, and now he's playing in European competition. Mm. And he's also, you know, just another, you know, Nigerian player coming through, kind of gives you a sense that they might be the coming force in African football on a global scale. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely, absolutely. A gentleman, Napoli obviously had a good comeback against Leicester. Sadly for Celtic, Real Betis had a very, very good comeback against them in southern Spain. Celtic went 2-0 up, lost 4-3. I mean, a pretty crazy game, actually.
It was.
I mean, Celtic started so well, and they had a chance at 2-0.
It was like they swapped shirts almost, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The initiative of the game changed so much.
Can like we swap five aside when you've messed up the teams.
Can we swap your defenders for our four or whatever? Yeah, something like that. They ended up losing 4-3, of course. Nice to see Joe Hart and is with the captain's armband. Claudio Bravo the other end.
I know, yeah. That was
Manuel Pellegrini in the dugout for Real Betis, lest we forget. It was sort of an ex.
A lot of
Man City.
Old players you've not seen in a while in there. Enjoyable. Yeah. Sergio Canales.
A lot of...
it's like Panto, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. When I mentioned Pellegrini, you said a lot of old... I wondered where you were going with that. You were going to do full out
RG tribute act.
I loved... there was that moment, as you mentioned, they had a chance to go 3-0 up, and that was on 29 minutes when Jota was through on the right.
Yes.
And then 5 minutes later, it was 2-2.
Yeah.
And Andrew Postecoglou's got this great, disappointed look because he comes out of his dugout And because he's got loads of really loose fitting clothes and he's got a hell of a scowl on him,
yeah,
he looks like a bloke who's just come out of his house because you've backed into his car.
Yeah.
What have you done that? Why have you done that? Yeah. What's going on?
And he's quite the presence, so you'd be like, oh crap.
Yeah, exactly.
Do I drive off and do something illegal here, or do I, you know, of course you don't, just for the record.
He would be the first.
Stay and take your punishment.
Yeah. He'd be the first manager that you could see in a kind of Tony Soprano dressing gown.
Yeah.
Picking up his paper in the morning and being like, for fuck's sake.
Yeah,
how's it 4-3-2 nil up?
I know, blimey, O'Reilly. By the way, did you see BT Sport were at Ibrox because Rangers are playing Lyon. They were beaten 2-0. Lovely opening goal in that game, absolute beauty. And they were also going to broadcast on Celtic game as well. So the commentary team were in going to be at Ibrox, I think, and they were going to sort of pundit in the studio, all that sort of stuff. So the BT Sport were there, and Chris Sutton and Neil Lennon were working on the Celtic game. Therefore, they had to go to Ibrox. But the pair were denied entry to the stadium for security reasons. Just security reasons.
Chris Sutton
wasn't happy on Twitter, as you can imagine.
I thought it was kind of pretty funny last night. Mm. But the more you think about it, I think that's probably a smart move.
Right.
Bear in mind that Neil Lennon's literally been beaten up in the street.
Mm. Yeah.
By rival football vans. It's a bit different from, you know, say Martin Keown getting pelters at Stamford Bridge or whatever.
Mm.
They would have got dogs abuse. Yeah. They would have had to mute the mics. I mean, obviously that's on the lower end of the scale, but
it's a great shame that happened. But to say, like, Sutton wasn't best pleased, you know.
He's quite punchy, isn't he?
Yeah, where is he?
As is Neil Lennon.
Don't worry, Chris. We're going to send you to St. Petersburg instead, because we all remember in Russia he was full of the joys. Get that man over there. He loved it there. Gentlemen, West Ham got a great win away in Croatia, beating Dynamo Zagreb 2-0. Their first win in Europe since 1999. That stat does suggest that they've lost loads of European fixtures since then. But you get the picture. David Moyes said, I'm really excited about the prospect of slightly not knowing how good they could be. Obviously, he's side in European competition. I like positive David Moyes.
Yeah.
It can get better than this, Jim. It just can. It's lovely to see.
It is. What a turnaround.
But it's like the most Moyes positivity in that, like, he's a negative. It's like a slight on himself that I have no idea how good these players are.
Yeah, okay, I see what you mean. Yeah, he's still David Moyes, for crying out loud. We're just saying it's a positive version. So he's not saying, I'm really intrigued how well these lads can do. It's kind of like, well, I don't know how they're going to do, but so far, so good.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Good as it gets, baby.
Mikel Antonio getting a goal in Europe was pretty cool.
Do you know what? It was gifted, but it still was delightful
a gift that you've got to assemble yourself, though, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The Kinder Egg.
Yeah. it was a Kinder Egg of a goal. He did it well. I loved it, though. Peter Drury on commentary just shouting, hammer time!
I mean, you expect a bit more from football's poet laureate, don't you?
If you ever, I can't understand why you would pass this up, but if you ever get the chance to meet Peter Drury, take it with both hands. He's just a wonderful man.
I bet.
Oh, he's glorious. He's one of my favourite men, Jim.
Oh, that's good. I'd love to see the full list of that.
Are you on there, Jim?
Probably not.
Maybe not.
I'd just like to say about Antonio's goal before you move it on. Like, when you watch the replay of that, it was like when you watch, like, footage of a pilot when there's like a UFO that just flies into vision. It was even on the replay, it was so fast, so impressive. And that's why I think actually people saying it was a bit of a gimme, kind of missing what Antonio himself has done there. It's really, really good.
He's good. Yeah, I can almost see him as he sort of takes it, as he collects it and knocks it past the keeper, just his internal monologue was just, I'll have. And knocks it calmly into the net. But what about Declan Rice's goal, Vish? Would you say that kind of driving run and powerful finish, Yaya Touré-esque?
Mm. I mean, a few people were saying that the other day. I've likened him in the past to a white Yaya Touré, but the only thing is, you don't really...
Younger Yaya Touré.
Not
birthday cake.
Probably less panicky on his birthday. Yeah. But he... So certainly you didn't used to see that as much from him. And I mentioned that yesterday, and loads of West Ham fans came back to me and said, actually, you're seeing a bit more over the last, you know, 6 to 8 months. And obviously it's not really a role he does for England. But I remember I covered the game away at Leicester City, which was the start of their big run last year. Mm. And it was It was a very well-executed smash and grab. They absolutely deserved the points. Leicester didn't create much. But on 85 minutes, I think he was, he basically took the ball from the edge of his box right to the edge of Leicester's box and struck a left-foot shot against the bar. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking at the time, I was almost like waiting for him to mess it up,
you know,
truth be told, because I hadn't seen it from before. And then every now and again, you notice it. And that was another great, that was just a great example of, because he gets the ball, he beats someone to the ball, and then he barges someone off the ball.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and they, I forget which player it was, but really tried to physically put Rice off it.
Yeah, they weren't trying to get the ball. They were trying to get Rice, and they couldn't even get him.
Yeah.
And the way he finished it as well was, you know, it was on his swinger, but he kept it low and he struck it well.
He hit it low and hard.
Yeah.
You've got a chance.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah. Yeah.
Luke's compared him to Patrick Vieira before as well. And I think it is a fair comparison. And friends of mine who watch West Ham every week have always said he's a very different player for West Ham than he is for England. It'd be nice to see him sort of off the leash. And this is that example. Like, having such a sort of rangy stride is quite a rare thing in football, isn't it? And it's very difficult for defending players to deal with. And it
shows his intelligence, though, the way he plays for England. It's slightly different to West
Ham.
And of course, was a huge part, has been a huge part of the England team for a little while now.
I was literally about to say,
go on,
that in the future, because obviously Calvin Phillips made that run for the first goal, the Euro Sterling against Croatia.
Yep.
And I thought they could alternate, and then I realised I was basically saying, one could
one
sit. Step,
when one sits, one goes. Yeah. And at some point, maybe we'll farm Rice out on the left.
Yeah, we'll put him on the left wing. Yeah, because Harvey Barnes can play in the middle.
Don't know you're talking.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, lots of silverware. an enormous amount of silverware is coming our way. What was that? One of the Dinamo Zagreb players seemed quite unhappy with Rice's celebration. He went over. Did you see this? They were sort of celebrating, and he kind of went over. I don't know whether he thought maybe Rice was being antagonistic to the home fans because he sort of arms up in celebration, although a lot of there wasn't that many home fans, of course, because there was a stand was closed following an earthquake in the area.
Yeah, and apparently that stand has been a disgrace for years. Anyway.
Oh, I'm sure, I'm sure. But
maybe he thought he was going to start another earthquake.
Yeah, be careful. Honestly, this place is on its last legs.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a tectonic plate there, get off it.
I don't know what he was doing, but the West Ham players were just like, get up, get lost, what are you doing?
Get off, you slag. Clear off. Muppet.
You slag.
I know, yeah. But West Ham, of course, are entertaining your beloved Manchester United on the weekend, Vish.
They are.
They will be without Antonio after his suspension last weekend, of course, which is a shame. But at the other end of the pitch, you know, Manchester United will have Cristiano Ronaldo, who has swapped mansions less than a week after moving in to his new place because it was claimed that
people say footballers aren't relatable. No.
This mansion is not good enough. Well, it was because he was losing sheep because of a herd of... Sorry, let me say that again. He was losing sleep because of a herd of sheep.
Why didn't he just count them?
Well, exactly. That's a very good point. Because he would probably say, well, I've scored more goals than there are sheep here, you know, something like that. But yeah, in the fields behind the mansion, there was sheep. They were keeping him up with their barring and he couldn't get to sleep. For some reason, Patrice Evra took to Insta as he does, and he recorded a video of himself on a speedboat with a load of sheep on this boat.
Was it moving?
Yes.
What?
And he was.
You're not seeing this.
No.
It's magnificent.
You know it's how, his like, best one yet.
Oh, absolutely. You know how just like making Instagram
stories.
It's his stories,
best one.
Oh no,
yet.
He's taken this to another level.
Climbing out of his car with raw chicken. It's his
honestly,
best one.
No, he's hired a speedboat and chucked loads of sheep in it.
Yeah.
Like it's
because he's taking them away from Cristiano Ronaldo.
They must be terrified.
But he's on the caption. He said, "Don't worry, Cristiano. I'm moving my sheep far away from your home. Shepherd, mister. Hashtag I love this game. Can do everything. Hashtag positive forever."
It's really, everyone enjoys making an Instagram story, right? It's loads of fun. But Evra's made it his job with a recently retired footballer's budget. And that is the dream. What a dream.
Don't worry, Ronaldo, I'm taking it away.
That is a good point, actually, yeah.
How much money goes into hiring a speedboat and some sheep for like a 30-second video?
I don't know. Was he given like the keys to London and he's misjudged it? Because aren't you, if you're made a freeman of the City of London or something, you can take your sheep over London Bridge?
That maybe, well, maybe, no, because he doesn't have that, so he's had to take them over water. And stuff.
Yeah. He turned up with his sheep.
What if one of them fell in?
Don't know.
This is how the length he'll go to create great quality content on Insta.
I mean, he's keeping us in clover. I'm not going to complain, but that's astonishing. Wow.
Yeah, I just don't know. I don't know. There are reports that Antonio Conte would be open to being Manchester United boss if called up.
Easy thing to report that, isn't it?
Very easy. Yeah. But mind you, that wasn't reported when the Spurs job was going, though, was it, Jim?
No, he was linked, though, wasn't he?
He was linked, but...
Oh, yeah, it wasn't reported that he'd be up for it. Yeah, good point.
There's a subtle difference there.
You made it sound like a really childish game at school, but, You fancy that one over there? Like, no, I don't. He's like, yeah. You've got to get the Spurs job. You've got to get the Spurs job.
Have you heard Marcus Speller's really up for hosting Match of the Day?
What? I'm very happy with the current team, Jim. But what do you think, Vish? Are you worried about going away to West Ham, Moyes' men?
Be really interesting, especially off the back of the defeat to Young Boys. Antonio is, you know, obviously going to be a huge miss for them, but they've played it a few times where they've had a false nine situation. Like, Yarmolenko has done that a few times. And yeah, I think that lightens a load on Manchester United's very questionable midfield. Mm-hmm. But I'm interested to see how this one plays out because we're starting to have that conversation again about. Yeah. Solskjaer's game management, and West Ham are a team who do pose some very awkward questions for you. Mm. I mean, it will almost certainly be the case, as it was last year for this fixture, where West Ham took the lead and then United jammed an equaliser and ended up winning 3-1, I think it was, that, you know, the attacking talents can paper over the cracks. But it should be a good game. I'm looking forward to this one.
We're all looking forward to it, big boy. All of us looking forward to it.
Are you a little concerned that Ronaldo's already started coaching the team from the sideline?
I mean, he did that during the Euro final, didn't he?
And it worked out well.
Yeah.
But you don't have a player like Eder, though. But I would thought you was going to say, are you concerned that he's moved into Andy Cole's old place?
No.
In Cheshire.
Well, I've heard it's outstanding.
Yeah. But Ronaldo, if it goes like it, Ronaldo, you know, only needs one chance to score 5 goals, though.
So that is true. Pele didn't need any chances to score 5 goals, did he?
Ronaldo for you.
But it would be funny because Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has always deferred to United greatness, you know, the fact that he wouldn't park into Alex Ferguson's spot. Mm. How far can Ronaldo push it?
Yeah.
To be like, he just turns up and Ronaldo just sat in his office.
Yeah. Mm.
Having like replaced the photos of him with like, you know, this is, they're my family now. Yeah. And he's like, okay, yeah, sure. That's fine.
I mean, I like it.
I'm actually going to feed your kids as well.
Yeah, because he's already got Solskjaer saying, well, you know, the boy, well, no, he's a man, isn't he? He's a man. Yeah, fine, don't worry, we know what he is. He's a really big man.
Call me sir.
Yeah. Right, everybody.
Call me by your name.
It's time for a break.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Ollie, I know it's half time in the tie, but that's an incredible advantage. Do you feel like the job is done?
No, don't feel like the job is done, but it was a good job done.
Love it. Welcome back to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betway. It's now time for emails.
If you've got something for us, show at footballramble.com.
An email from Antonio Mango. God, I hope that's your real name. Who emailed in after our footballer custard conspiracy theories. Mm. When I was at university, I worked in a bar/restaurant as a side job. We were known for our Sunday dinners, and every Sunday, Tim Krul would come in with his family when he was at Newcastle United. He would have a starter, a Sunday dinner, and then finish off with a sticky toffee pudding with custard on top. Ooh. But he would always ask for extra custard on the side. If he didn't get the extra custard, he wouldn't eat the dessert.
What?
Bizarre.
Two things with that. Mm. Do you normally get a starter with a Sunday roast?
No. No, that's deviant.
No, you're right. You wouldn't. A Sunday roast is really a three-course meal in itself, isn't it? There's so much going on. Mm.
I'm amazed that there's a... I mean, look, fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, he's a big lad, needs a food.
I mean, he's a big lad.
They burn a lot of calories, don't they?
Yeah. But the custard thing, I find that interesting. I mean,
because it must have happened, right? This can only be an anecdote based in truth. Look, it must have, on at least one occasion, he must have wasted a perfectly good sticky toffee pudding.
Well, we're going on Mr. Mango's word.
But, we let's trust him. He's a listener. He's a valid listener. Uh-huh. You know, I mean, it's a waste, isn't it? But at the same time, why aren't they bringing him the extra custard? Also, Who's refusing that?
Why isn't he asking, I'm going to get the sticky toffee pudding, can I get extra custard? Sorry, can't give you extra custard. Surely then don't order it. But he wouldn't order it, so he orders it first then.
But the line, if he didn't get the extra custard, he wouldn't eat the dessert. It sounds like he's said that.
Yeah.
No, but it sounds like Krul said, can I have extra custard? Because by the way, if it doesn't come, I'm not eating this.
Right, okay.
Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
Bit of a standoff.
Mm. Yeah, that is very weird. Mm-hmm. Although I think they should give you extra on everything on sauces. I feel like, you know, when they bring over like the black pepper and the parmesan, leave it there.
No.
Let me do it.
Well, I think he has been managed by Louis van Gaal. He's seen van Gaal do something like this in a restaurant, hasn't he? If you don't cover this in gravy, I'm not eating it.
The power play. Luke's been in touch. Not Luke Moore. Well, it might be. I don't think it is. But this Luke says... Well, the subject line says, selling wine to Keggy, so you can see where this is going.
Right, can we just let it hang in the air for a little bit?
Selling wine to Keggy.
Not in glass bottles.
Well, Marcus, strap in.
Pour it into his hands.
Just put it in this pocket, otherwise I'll smash the
bottle. I'm going to start, right, and we can do this afterwards. On the subject of serving footballers in shops, 5 years ago I worked at a wine shop in Hale Barnes, a posh bit of Manchester where lots of current and ex-footballers live. One day, who should walk in but Imminent Disaster's very own Kevin Keegan. I was off serving another customer when I walked down an aisle to find several bottles of wine sat upright on the hard granite floor.
Oh no.
Just asking to be knocked over.
It's like he's put on... It's like he's put on skates to walk downstairs. Glass on the floor.
Yeah, just waiting there. I dutifully began picking up the bottles to put them back on the shelf, only to hear a high-pitched voice cry out, "Don't do that! How will I remember what I've picked?" The option of using a trolley or sticking them on the counter had not occurred to him.
He's been burned before.
He has been burned before. Considering Keggy's track record, it's obvious what happens next. Within 5 minutes, a bottle of Cloudy Bay, a rather nice New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc, smashed on the floor, its contents spilling everywhere, knocked over by Keggy himself. He was very apologetic and a lovely bloke all in all, but a bottle of quality NZ Sauv Blanc was the collateral damage that day.
You just... turn the corner as that attendant and he's just there, hands bloody from trying to pick up the glass.
I think you just go straight over to the dustbin and brush, don't you?
Yeah.
Like, as that, no, as someone who works in that shop.
If you work in a shop where there's a lot of glass bottles, you should have a key warning. He's coming in right quickly.
It'd be one of those things you think it will never happen.
Put down
like,
the
padded
floor.
This is a complete waste of a training day. We're never going to need to be prepared for this. And then one day, he walks...
Like a hurricane.
Whole training day. You know, like those guys at Wimbledon when it rains who quickly bring the covers over?
Yeah.
You need them guys. Bring the padded floor quickly. Keegan's here.
I like the idea that he was so angry. Oh, how will I remember what I've picked? Yeah.
That would have only been bettered if someone had knocked Keegan's bottles over. Do you know what I mean?
I didn't do it.
Like
it
if Rude Hullet or somebody came in. Oh, dear. Well, of course, a lot of people got in touch on Twitter, haven't they, Jim, about the meat management industry awards.
Yes.
So Keegan was he doing? He was hosting it.
He hosted it, yeah.
Yeah, we spoke about this before, but I think a lot of people...
There was a big E. coli outbreak, was there?
There's an adorable interview with him on the Meat Management Industry Awards website where he's just, like, doing his best to field questions about meat. Like, what does he fucking know? Like,
sorry, Kevin, we're just going through the transcript. Do you always have your chicken medium rare?
Yeah.
I should warn you. You should warn you.
They're genuinely asking him questions about the state of the meat industry. Like, why would he know? It's so unfair. But to be fair to him, he does a brilliant job at batting them away.
Imagine if he ends up causing some big diplomatic incident.
Oh, God. My giddy aunt. Right, where are
Why
we?
Why did they do that?
Quite a few listeners signed us up for a table at the awards. It was very kind of them. Sadly, we didn't go, but yeah. Oh, dear. Apparently, though, Keegan did say in that interview, if anyone has supported the meat industry this year, it's been my family. We've eaten loads of the stuff.
Yeah.
With the good weather, we had a run of 5 barbecues in 6 days.
Oh, I love that.
Hey, well, my Jean does all
and
the cooking.
5 houses by the sound of it.
He said, my wife Jean does all the cooking. I'm just the barbecue man. They don't trust me with anything else.
Won't even let me buy the wine. Oh, kegs. Never change.
Oh, show up for
I'm actually sweating.
There we are. Oh. Right. Let's go back. Let's talk about his ex club Newcastle.
Yeah.
They're playing Leeds tonight.
Yes.
Big game tonight under the lights. Where else to begin but a training ground bust up at Newcastle United. Yeah. Dwight Gayle and Graham Jones.
3 games into the season already.
Yeah. They've been reportedly involved in a training ground showdown, Is a showdown leads to a bust up.
Yeah,
or a bust-up causes a showdown, maybe.
Yeah, they're interchangeable, I think.
Very true. Jamal Lascelles was forced to step in, maybe stopping the bust-up.
Yeah.
A source said there was a head-to-head after a disagreement. Jones said, "It's always about you, Gailey." Dwight wasn't having any of it and said, "It's been all about you since you've been with England." Apparently, Jamal had to get between them.
How many times has Jamal Lascelles broken up fights?
I hate to think.
It's his job, isn't it?
They call him the bouncer. Yeah. But apparently, though, there's tensions at the club. That won't surprise anybody. A number of the players are apparently frustrated with Steve Bruce's management. A number of the fans are, I believe, as well. But some players reported for training on the middle Monday during the international break, which happened recently, of course, only to discover that Stevie Bruce was still on holiday in Portugal.
Yeah.
I didn't realise.
One of the quotes from this interview is astonishing. It's from Bruce. It says, "It's difficult, but look, the frustration is like any other Premier League club or any other football league club. If you don't get results, then ultimately the manager, head coach, whatever I am, bears the brunt." But whoa, someone's been reading Sun Tzu.
Yeah.
That is just
inspirational
stuff.
Well, on Tuesday this week, the squad went to training as usual, expecting to train and properly prepare and all that sort of stuff. But Brucey had called a meeting to discuss running statistics, apparently. And the players were rather unimpressed by the whole thing, especially when he started citing other teams in the bottom half of the table as good examples. "But this lot can run. Why can't we?" And a source said the lads couldn't believe it. They were like, "What is he talking about?" And it didn't go down well with some.
It's hard to know how to react to that, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because we don't know what those statistics were and what context Bruce has used them in. But from where I'm sat, that feels like they should actually maybe listen to their manager. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wonder if the some of the statistics, though, are can be quite misleading. And obviously, like Bruce has gone into it with a view of shaming them in some way, to basically say that they're not working hard. And that was probably one metric, which is actually a very loose metric because it doesn't actually measure. I mean, we don't know exactly the kind of running stats they were. But generally, he would have, you know, picked numbers that suit his argument, basically.
Yeah.
The issue, I suppose, is that he's had quite a few of these outbursts over the last season. This is I know how these stories read, because obviously I read them myself as well, and I think this, but you kind of wonder, right, they don't like him, so they're coming out with all this stuff. Mm-hmm. When really, actually, it builds up over a period of time, not just with the results, but with what's being said behind closed doors and how they can, you know, how it starts as water off a duck's back when it starts going badly, and then it just grates and grates and grates, and you know, this is this is the straw for that breaks the camel's back.
Yeah.
Another good example of this is him having a go at Isaac Hayden, who was playing centre-back against Manchester United, for not doing a good job against Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it feels like Bruce is starting to, he's swinging in public and he's swinging behind closed doors here.
Yeah. Well, I think it just, but does it not reflect the whole thing that's going on at the club? I mean, how, in his sense, and I know that a couple of mates of mine who support Newcastle United don't like it when I feel sympathy for Steve Bruce.
Yeah.
But I do feel a little bit.
I think I might know one of them.
Yeah, I think we all do. But I think I just sort of do in the name of humanity, because
I don't think he deserves sympathy now, though.
Okay.
I think I know what you're saying, because he's a nice man. And he's got a lovely voice.
Very cuddly.
Yeah.
But I think, no, I just think it's the fact that it's such a crappy situation at that club, and has been for a while. And if you take away Steve Bruce, and even if you put in a top level manager, performances would improve. I understand that the football might be a little bit more exciting and so on, but it's still the owners of the club are still there.
Yeah,
but he's benefiting from this crappy situation.
Well, if
it wasn't a crappy situation, he wouldn't be in a job.
Yeah,
he wouldn't end up being a mouthpiece for Mike Ashley, really, someone who is in a prime role to not upset the apple cart, really. That's the only thing.
Sure, but
he's worried about everything above him, not everything below him.
Yeah, but then you can't blame him necessarily for taking the job, because he's always wanted the job. And if he takes the job and he thinks, well, if he's a little bit self-aware and thinks it's only because of this, then, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, sure.
That doesn't make anything right necessarily, but it just, again, reflects the situation at the club.
He also said in that interview, do you not think I want better players? Do you not think I want a better squad and to have the ability to go out and compete at the top end of the transfer market? And like, the transfer market thing is fair enough, but do you not think I want better players is so like,
yeah.
I mean, you're then training those players all week. Like, in a situation like that, you've got to create like a siege mentality.
You do.
And it's like, he's talking as if they're like completely, completely out of their depth. Mm. And like, it's almost like they're a promoted team have punched massively above their weight, and they're not that. Like, it's they're not going to, like, you know, challenge for Europe, are they? But it's surely not impossible to motivate those players to at least have an enjoyable season. Like, we're three games in, and this stuff happening
very
already.
True. Marcelo Bielsa said that he's deeply saddened by Bruce's situation at Newcastle. But Bielsa always looks quite saddened, doesn't he? So
yeah.
Maybe there's nothing new there. Apparently, Leeds have just got one central defender available after Stewart's red card was upheld against Liverpool. Which I mean, you know, I know it's been and gone, but touch harsh sending off for me. But there we are. But yeah, I'm a little bit surprised at that. But you would fancy Leeds to do something.
Have enough,
here.
Yeah.
Especially
with the Callum Wilson for Newcastle to exploit that lack of defence. Although, ASM, you say the best way to play Leeds is to try and play them at their own game, and try and beat your one-on-one opponent. And Maximum is the kind of person who can beat two.
True, as I say that, I mean, because they should have had more against Manchester United.
Yeah,
you know, it was highlighted very well in Manchester, you know, some of the final passes and so on, you know.
Yeah, and Leeds are in a funny position at the moment, because it feels like everything's that little bit out of sync.
Yes.
So, I mean, this could go either way, couldn't it?
True enough. Huge game on Sunday afternoon between Spurs and Chelsea. Spurs, of course, drew 2-2 away to Rennes in the Europa Conference League. That right. Yes. Nuno Espirito Santo, he said he didn't enjoy Spurs' Europa Conference League opener, saying, "It's been terrible, I must be honest." "Let's not hide anything. After the Watford game, everything that has happened has not been very good for us. Refreshing honesty, Jim."
Yeah, absolutely.
Stephen Bergwijn and Lucas Moura went off injured, and Heung-Min Son could be fit. There's a little injury there. We'll have to wait and see, of course. So
some injuries that obviously no one wants injuries, but those players, you know, it's a shame that they're going to miss out. Tanguy Ndombele made his first start in nearly 5 months and provided a lovely little back heel in the lead up to the first goal. So good to see him back in there, back in a Spurs shirt.
Yeah, definitely. He might end up being a player that they didn't think they'd have when the window slammed shut, mm-hmm. as it does, because you know he made noises that he wanted to leave.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I thought yesterday was quite good because he hadn't started in a while, and he, you know, certainly what we've known of him of his time in England and what Basel has told us about when he was in his first season with Lyon, I think it was, that it takes him a while to get up to speed. He's not entirely driven when it comes to making sure he hits the ground running. It kind of takes a few games, but I thought he looked pretty sharp yesterday, yeah.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Both sides have had sort of fairly decent starts to the Premier League season, you would say, but Chelsea will be firm favourites, Jimmy.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. As we've said a few times, they're still sort of playing their way into their best form, and obviously this sort of test is one that forces you to get up to speed a bit quicker, isn't it? So it'd be interesting to see sort of where they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see this being quite stalematey for periods.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? Because both managers like that approach.
Yeah, definitely. Just especially off the back of Chelsea's game against Zenit, where you know Zenit St. Peter's had basically cluttered the middle, and like you know, obviously there are injuries that Spurs have to contend with, but I can see them doing pretty much what they did against Man City the opening day of the season. Yeah. You know, with Skip and Højbjerg and Dele Alli in there, could be a big game Friday, couldn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean.
I always think about that Stamford Bridge game where he scores that goal when
Kane,
it was Kane, puts it over the top and he takes one touch and flicks it over the keeper. And he was 3 seasons ago, that maybe even 4 seasons ago, these were his games.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting to see, you know, if he does start, what kind of system they go with. Because certainly he'll be, you know, what we know of Son is that, I think, what were we saying, 25%? I think we read somewhere before we went on air.
Yeah.
So it's going to be Kane or bust, really, to a point, especially with Bergwijn when he got.
I've enjoyed seeing Ali get a bit more football. We know he's got quality, and it's been a shame the last sort of two or however many seasons seeing him not play that much. You know, but it's not surprising that Jose Mourinho couldn't get the best out of him, though.
No, couldn't be bothered to try, let's be honest.
It's happened before, hasn't it? But speaking of Jose Mourinho, and of course, Spurs versus Chelsea is a Jose Mourinho derby. Do you see his Roma side beat, can we call them Alan Pardew, CSK Sofia?
Yeah. I mean, you've done it now.
Yeah, okay, fine. In the Europa Conference League, I think they were in.
Yes,
the Ensley Europa League. the Europa Conference League is where
the Anglo Europa Conference League.
That's right.
Data systems from below.
The Raymond Conference League. They beat them 5-1. Mourinho said though that they didn't play very well.
Of course he did.
Yeah.
Well, that'll be the one.
That's it.
Furious about them conceding the one.
Yeah. 6 wins from the first 6 games for just the third time in their history. If they're opening sort of 6 games.
What a start. Could this finally be the club where he breaks that tradition of everything falling apart in 3 seasons?
That recent tradition.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they are top of that. He's up to something, isn't he? He's up to winning the league, Vish, is he?
The thing is,
the old dog's back.
After falling down the tree, what we know is that if Roma do win Serie A, that he will reflect on the last few years and realise that, you know, he can win with good grace and humility.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, absolutely right. Absolutely
right. He's going to get it out, isn't he, and swing it and windmill it.
Yes, that's the spirit. Right, gentlemen, let's move on to Betway's 4 to Score. Entry to Betway's 4 to Score is free each week. Pick the first goal scorer in Betway's 4 selected matches for your chance to win the weekly £50,000 jackpot. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. Further T's and C's apply. In the first match, I'm up, gentlemen, as I tend to be, and I don't like it because I sometimes mess it up for everybody. But I'm not going to this week because it's Aston Villa versus Everton, Saturday 5:30 p.m. kickoff, and I've picked Richarlison, and he's going to do the business for us. In game 2, Brighton versus Leicester City, which is at 2 p.m. on Sunday. Jim, who have you picked?
I've gone for James Maddison because his form has been questioned a lot, not unreasonably, but he's a smart player and he works hard, and I back him to sort of play his way back into form sooner rather than later.
Excellent.
Starting on Sunday.
Lovely, lovely. Game 3, West Ham United versus Manchester United, which is also at Sunday at 2 p.m. Pete Donaldson had this to say.
Yeah. It's definitely going to be Cristiano Ronaldo to score first against West Ham.
obviously would have gone for Mikel Antonio because he's been doing some great things in Europe, but they will be exhausted and he can't play fundamentally. So yeah, Cristiano.
There we are.
Ronaldo.
He's got it right, hasn't he, Peter? I thought he was going to say Julian Dix or something. Okay, Pete's gone for Cristiano Ronaldo in that game. Game 4, Spurs versus Chelsea, which is on Sunday at 4:30 p.m. Vish, who have you picked?
So I to and froed with this, but I've gone for Mason Mount. I'm actually covering this game as well, so I will be cheering him on.
Well, if it is a bit stalematey, like we think, Mount is that type of player, isn't he?
He is,
little
yeah.
whiff of a chance, get on the end of something.
Yes, yeah. Excellent. They've got a few goal sniffers, though, haven't they?
They do. But, you know.
But I'm putting my faith in Mount.
But Lukaku will take the heat off him. Lukaku will take about three defenders away from him.
Misdirection.
Yes, exactly. So there we are. Aston Villa versus Everton. I've gone for Richarlison. Brighton versus Leicester. Jim's gone for James Maddison. West Ham versus Manchester United. Pete has gone for Cristiano Ronaldo. Spurs versus Chelsea. Vish has picked Mason Mount. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. Of course, you can play for free at betway.com/4 to score. Further T's and C's apply. You've got to be 18 plus and do gamble responsibly. For more information on that, head to begambleaware.org. Right, gentlemen, it's time for this.
It's the algorithm. What do you want me to do?
This is why I'm fucked.
It's now time for Marcus's game. And you know what that means, Vish, don't you?
The person overseeing the game is a flagrant cheat. It's like Vince McMahon being a referee in the WWF.
It means we're doing managers, baby.
Oh, why? Yeah, fine, whatever. You're going to be on Jim's side anyway, because you like to see me suffer. And you're still annoyed that I beat you the other week.
Did you?
Yeah.
I'm intrigued as to why you slipped into the little Tim Westwood baby. What an odd, awful figure to bring in, just to throw us both.
Jim,
so I'm nervous.
Jim, in the sort of the stare off there, I'd say very much so that you won it. Are you going to cheat, aren't you? I can't get out of there. Robbie Savage over there. Right, gentlemen, we're doing managers, and the algorithm suggests that Vish, because he beat me recently, apparently, is the stronger competitor. Because to beat me, my goodness, you've got to have some tools. Gentlemen, I should say, before we carry on, remember, this is slightly different to players. With players, you obviously don't name the countries that they've played for, because that would be silly. But of course, if managers have managed an international team, that counts.
Okay.
All right? And unlike players, where with players, if they haven't played a match for a side, that's not included, of course. Whether it's managers, even if they've been manager for 10 minutes, they have managed a football club.
Okay,
if you see what I mean. So slightly different to players, just to make that absolutely clear. So Jim, you're up first.
Yes,
this man has managed four teams.
Four teams.
Just four teams.
Just the four.
He's Jurgen Klinsmann.
Okay,
Klinsy. What have you got, Jimbo? Oh, you both got pens and paper. I don't like that. A bit more Jimmy White, me.
What did he use? A Q.
Did you ever see Jimmy White with a pen and paper? No.
We didn't need one, did he?
No.
You never saw Mike Tyson with a pen and paper. But thanks for the time you're buying.
Yeah,
that's
a good
frankly.
One, though. Get in there. You know.
Never saw Fred West with a pen and paper.
Oh, that way.
I can do two for sure.
Two. Is that your bid?
Yeah. Can I go in low?
Vichy baby? Where are you going? Come on. You like to swing. You like to swing big in these games.
I do. Yeah, I'm gonna go three.
Gonna go three. Can I hear four from you, Jim?
Nope.
Okay. Right.
I hope you mess it up, Vish.
Name.
I think I will, because I think I'm getting confused. The fact that he's an owner, or he's like quite high up in the food chain of a club,
Jim,
at the moment, or
Jim,
he used to be.
I think we're all hoping he's going to mess it up.
Sounds okay. Like it.
So
right,
Germany.
Right. Far away. Wait. One at a time, please. Right.
Germany. United States. Schalke. Yeah.
Bayern Munich.
You dumb shit.
Yeah. See, I forgot Germany, Vish. And yet I get the point.
Bayern Munich.
And Hertha Berlin.
That was the one who blamed me.
Hertha Berliner Sport Club. Jim Campbell gets the point.
Munich.
He's hurt us there.
Can't believe you forgot Germany.
No, especially after Marcus was buying us more time.
Oh, dear. Right, Vish, you're up first.
What a shit start, God.
You're up first, Vishy baby. Come on, all right?
Let me add a little bit of
Spice.
You played that too early. It's 1-0.
I know, especially when you find out it's he's managed six clubs, still managing. It's David Moyes. The spiciest of all the managers, right. I think you'll agree.
Okay.
Six teams this man has managed. Shouldn't say clubs, I should say teams. Six teams. That Davy Moyes has managed.
Six football teams.
Yeah, professional ones.
Professional football teams. Yes. I'm going to go with four.
Four, good bid.
I'm going to go with all six.
Oh, big time. Big time, Jim Campbell.
Yep.
Vish is worried. You see, he went all conservative, Jim.
I definitely can do six.
He's got to get him. All right, Jimmy.
Everton. Vish is Man United. Sunderland. West Ham. Real Sociedad. And Preston North End.
Fuck it.
Very good. Very good. It's 2-0. It's 2-0. Is he
gonna... the pen's a good addition. Oh, it helps having a pen.
It's mightier than the mind. could he be Celtic? Could he be West Ham? They held on to their lead. Anyway, right. Third manager. Jim, you're up first. He's managed seven teams. Still managing. It's Claude Puel. Oh, it's not what you need, Vish, is it? When you
Jesus Christ.
Shouldn't have messed up Klinsmann, should ya? It's a doozy. It's an absolute doozy. Still managing. Why have you not been keeping up with him? Is what I would shout at anybody who doesn't know where he currently is. Seven.
Seven clubs, that is...
Seven. If you can remember his playing days...
I'm forgetting an obvious one there, I think.
If you're aware of his playing days, that will help. A little clue to both of you and our listeners, who are no doubt playing along at home. We always encourage that, everybody, or in your workplace, wherever you find yourself right now. Jim, I'm going to have to push you for an answer.
Yeah,
I'm going to
go with two.
Two, okay.
I'm going to go with three.
Yeah, okay, three. Can I hear more than three,
no.
Jim? Okay. Vish, three to stay in the match.
Leicester City. Lyon. Monaco.
Well played, sir.
Nice.
Well played. I think his whole playing career was at Monaco, and he won the league managing Monaco. Then went to Lille. Was it Lyon? Nice. Southampton.
Yeah, I wasn't sure about that.
Leicester City and currently at Saint-Étienne.
Oh, I forgot Southampton.
Yeah,
happens then.
Well, like when you
does this have to go out?
You got the point.
Yeah, it's true.
You got the point. You're still in it. You are still in it. Right. Here we go. Here we go. We're at the business end now. It's 2-1. It's nicely poised.
I feel like there's so many more blind spots with managers than
Vish. Yeah. Vish, you're up first. He's managed 12 teams.
Excessive that.
Still in the game. Marcelo Bielsa.
Oh.
12 of the buggers. I need a little bit of time here for old Bielsa. 12 teams, people, 12 teams. Who has he got? They are writing away right now, ladies and gentlemen. You should be as well, because you've got answers. I know you do. You've got at least one, all of you listening on at home. Jim Campbell looks confused. Vish looks determinedly confused. It's like trying to explain the Europa Conference League to a football fan who's still stuck in the 1990s. Okay, we're going to need an answer very soon, people, very soon. 12 teams this man has managed. Vish, what have you got?
I'm going to start.
Yeah, you're going to start, which suggests that he may go higher, Jim. What are you going to go for? Come on, need an answer.
I'm going to start.
Yep.
Five.
Not bad. Jim, can you go higher than five?
No, I don't think I can.
Not going to do it.
That's...
Oh, is it a bluff? Is it a confident five?
Could you have gone higher than four?
No, he doesn't have to answer that.
No, he won't.
A little bit of smugness there on the face of Jim Campbell. Right then, Vatouche, what have you got? Five teams that Marcello, depending on how you pronounce your C's, Bielsa has managed.
Argentina. Marseille. I've got Brazil in my head now.
It's all right, take your
Athletic
moment.
Athletic Bilbao, the club, the Spain.
It's fine, don't worry. I'm not going to...
Leeds United.
That's four.
Chile.
That's five.
I was thinking between that and the one I might have got wrong.
It's all square.
Yeah.
Newell's Old Boys.
Nope.
Yeah.
Atlas. Club America in Mexico. Vélez Sarsfield. Espanyol. Argentina. Chile. Athletic Bilbao. Marseille. Lazio would have counted.
Yeah.
Would have counted because, again, it's, as I said at the rule, literally put that rule in just so when we got to Bielsa, nobody was confused. Lille and Leeds United.
Yeah. I had Leeds on Chile. Bilbao and River Plate, which obviously would have been wrong.
Would have been wrong. Would have been wrong, but you didn't get the point anyway, Jim.
No.
It's 2-2.
It is tense.
We've gone down to the last frame and the last black, ladies and gentlemen.
Jimmy White's got his pen out.
He won't need it, though. Right, the final manager. Eight teams. Currently on the market, Antonio Conte. Jim, you're up first. Antonio Conte. When Antonio Conte speaks, his words assault you, according to Andrea Pirlo. What have we got? Eight teams, ladies and gentlemen. I know you know a few of them at least. But how many can you get? Jim Campbell, I'm going to need an opening
I'm going to
bid.
Go with four.
He's going to go for four. Could be the sweet spot, that Vish, unless you can pull something out the bag.
I'll go with five.
He's going to go with five. Jim, can you do six?
No.
Five teams. That Antonio Conte has managed, Vitusha Nahantaraja. This is classic you. You've gone for it.
He's gone big.
Because I'm enough chat about me or from me. Five teams, Antonio Conte. Do it, bruv.
Juventus. Inter. Chelsea. Italy.
Here we go. Here we go. It's the moment of truth. This is what it's all about on a Friday. It's gone down to the last answer.
This is a Hail Mary. Sampdoria?
Who's going to win it? Who's going to win it?
Jim Campbell!
Yeah. Oh, you've absolutely sackered that, haven't you?
Oh, it's Jim Campbell's day.
Yeah!
And what a battering it was as well.
Arezzo, Bari, Atalanta, Siena, Juventus, Italy, Chelsea, and Inter.
Okay, that's good. I was totally guessing that last time.
You've got the opening bid and you go for four, it's, you know.
Yeah.
Unless you had some specialist knowledge, which clearly you didn't.
I forgot Italy. I mean, I'm not a football journalist, am I? So, you know.
What a way to end the show. Jim Campbell
might not
winning
be when this goes
doing
out,
himself
actually.
Down. Well, there we are, ladies and gentlemen. What a game to finish this week on the Football Ramble. Thank you very much for listening to the previous show sponsored by Betway. It's been an absolute pleasure. We're back on Monday, of course, to pour over the glorious action that will no doubt happen on the weekend. Until then, thank you for Vitusha Nahantaraja.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim Campbell.
Thank you, and good luck in your marriages.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. See you next week.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.